church, wall to wall with the church, was a saloon, a pub, whatever you call them here. Not only did they sell alcohol, but it was a place of prostitution and a place of drugs, illicit drugs. And we were having a prayer meeting in the church sometime in October. And I was on the platform, one of those leading the prayer meeting, and without premeditation, I stood up on the platform and I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse that pub, that saloon. And I didn't think much more about it. Just about Christmas time, I think just after Christmas, at 4 a.m., there was a phone call in our house. Brother Prince, the church is burning. Would you like to come and see it? Well, it's very cold in Chicago, and when at 4 a.m. it was probably 20 degrees below zero. I thought, no, I really don't want to go and see it. Then I thought, if I don't show any interest in the church burning, people will think I'm pretty indifferent. So Ruth, my first wife, Lydia, and I got into the car and drove down. And when we got near it, there were the flames up in the sky and the smoke rising in billows. But when we got there, we discovered it wasn't the church. It was the liquor store, the pub. But the wind was blowing off the lake, Lake Michigan. And you call Wellington Windy City. Let me tell you, Chicago is also called Windy City. It's very similar in that respect. And the wind was blowing the flames right onto the church. And as we got there, the wind changed 180 degrees and blew the flames in exactly the opposite direction, away from the church. The result was the pub was completely destroyed and the church suffered nothing but smoke damage. And the fire chief of the Chicago Fire Brigade said to one of the elders, he said, you people must have a special relationship with the man upstairs. But that, you know what was the result of? A curse. When I saw what had happened, I thought, Brother Prince, you better be pretty careful how you pray from now on. I was like Moses. I was scared by what I had in my hand. You understand? All right. Now, another source of curses, and this is very important, is people with relational authority. God has so ordered human society that in certain situations, one person has authority over another person or persons. The most obvious example is a father who, according to the Word of God, has authority over his family. Whether people like it or not, whether they fight it or not, is absolutely unimportant. The fact is, he has authority over his family. If he doesn't use it, that's his problem. Another person who has authority is a husband over his wife. They're very closely related. The Bible says, God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of the husband is the head of the woman. Women's libbers can say what they like about it, but the fact remains, it's true. And they can't change it by objecting to it. And I'm not anti-women, I think that's obvious. Never has been my problem. I better not get into that. Well, where are we? Yeah, let's take the case of Jacob and his family. Jacob had served for a long time, more than 14 years, with his uncle Laban. He'd acquired two wives and two concubines and 11 children, and then he decided to flee back to the land that God had promised him, and he fled secretly because he was afraid that his uncle Laban would claim his wives back, you understand? Or his daughters back, who were Jacob's wives. Well, Laban pursued after him and eventually caught up with him quite near the boundary of the land of Canaan. Now, when they fled, Rachel, who was the daughter of Laban and the second wife of Jacob, stole her father's household gods. Now, first of all, he shouldn't have had household gods. And secondly, she shouldn't have stolen them, but she did. And Laban was extremely angry because his household gods had been taken, his little images, you know, that protected him, etc., etc. You know, the kind of thing that people keep, which is totally against the will of God. So, Laban catches up with Jacob and he says, why did you take my daughters without saying goodbye? And he said, well, I was afraid you'd take them back. And Laban said, well, secondly, why did you steal my household gods? Now, Jacob did not know that Rachel had taken them. And Rachel succeeded by a very typically feminine ruse from allowing Laban to discover where they were. So Jacob was very indignant because he'd been accused of stealing his father-in-law's gods and he hadn't done anything with them. And so he said just this one verse about the household gods in Genesis 31 verse 32. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. But the Hebrew says, let him not live. You understand? Now that's a curse. Let him not live. And it was pronounced by Jacob, the husband of Rachel. And he had authority over Rachel. It was not an empty word. It was a word that was charged with his authority. You know what happened? You know the story? The next time Rachel had a child, she died in childbirth. See? Jacob had pronounced the destiny of his wife. Now this comes very close home. Another person, as I've already mentioned, is a father. Second to the blessing of God, the most desirable thing in life is a father's blessing. And one of the things to be feared most is a father's curse. Now, many fathers have put a curse on their children without knowing it. And I know this because I've dealt with so many and helped them out of it. See, a father can have, say, three children. The first is clever. The third is clever, but the middle child is not really so bright. So the father doesn't like the middle child. You know what I've noticed about parents? If there's one child they don't like, it's usually the one that's most like themselves. I think they don't like what they see of themselves in that child. So the father says to this child, you'll never make good, you'll never succeed, your brothers are clever, but you'll be a failure all your life. You know what that is? It's a curse. And you'd be amazed how many people struggle all their way through life because of a parental curse pronounced upon them. Another kind of person that can pronounce a curse is a teacher, because a teacher has authority over his or her pupils. And again, it may be that a teacher in the early years has one pupil whom she really just can't get on with, you know? There's some kind of personality clash. And she says things like this, you'll never learn. You just will never learn to read. You just haven't got it. You'll never succeed. What's that? It's a curse. And again, I've dealt with people who've had to be delivered from a curse pronounced by a teacher. There's many different... Another person who can do it is a pastor. Because a pastor has spiritual authority over his congregation. Suppose a pastor has a clash with a member of his congregation. That person leaves. Maybe in a bad spirit. The pastor says, wherever you go, you'll never succeed. Till you put things right with this church, you'll never get on anywhere. Do you think pastors ever talk like that? Believe me, they do. You know what that is? It's a curse. Religious groups are terrible about that. If you break away from some groups, they will automatically put a curse upon you. And believe me, that's not something that is of no consequence. It's real. We've got to go on. The next category is a very common one, self-imposed curses. Curses that people pronounce on themselves. We'll go back to the story of Isaac and Rebekah. You remember that Rebekah had persuaded Jacob to steal the blessing. Or to get the blessing, I wouldn't say exactly steal, but cheat his way into the blessing. Now, Jacob was smart, and he said in Genesis 27:12, perhaps my father will feel me.